of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he, being dead, yet speaketh. And by faith Enoch was translated, that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now that verse 6 is power-packed. It is power-packed. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. He that comes to God must believe that he is, that he exists, that he is who he said that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Amen. So we have, that's a verse packed full of promise and conviction that God is a rewarder of those that put their trust in him, those that diligently seek him. God is a rewarder. Now, I just want to mention a couple of things that I mentioned last Wednesday night. First of all, faith can kind of be divided in several different categories. First of all, there's saving faith. Saving faith. God has given to every man the measure of faith. And by that, that's why we preach the gospel. That's why we send missionaries, because we know that once the gospel is preached to that individual, no matter where they are, in some foreign field, in some in the bush, or wherever they might be, it makes no difference. Once the gospel is preached, it is the power of God unto salvation. And that gospel has the power to touch their heart and to cause faith to rise up. That measure of faith that is in the heart of every person. You may think, well, I don't think that you have people you pray for and you think, how could God ever reach them? They never think about God. Oh, you don't know. You don't know how often they think about God. You don't know how often they may think about their own eternity and their own destiny, because God has put into every man, every woman that's ever born, a measure of faith enough for them to get saved. Enough for them to be saved. Amen. It's a whosoever will gospel. Amen. So there is a saving faith whereby everyone can come to the Lord. And then there is the gift of faith. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it talks about the gift of faith. And that we are to seek earnestly the best gifts. We're to seek the gift of faith. Amen. It's categorized under, there's the utterance gifts, prophecy, tongues, interpretation. And then there's the revelation gifts, which is a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge, and discerning of spirits. And then there are the power gifts, faith, healing, miracles. Those are all the nine gifts of the Spirit. And we're to seek earnestly the best gifts. And I believe that faith comes into that category, that we should ask the Lord, Lord, help me to have faith, increase my faith. Lord, give me the spiritual gift of faith. Amen. If you're saved, if you're filled with the Spirit, then you are you're a candidate to ask the Lord, Lord, give me the gift of faith in my life so that I can believe you for wonderful and great things. And then a third category is just faith to live by every day of our life as a Christian. Living by faith every day should be our experience with the Lord. And that means That ordinary people like you and me, when we think of all these people that are listed in Hebrews chapter 11, these heroes of faith, there are 17 people mentioned by name in Hebrews chapter 11. And we, when we read through that, we call them heroes of faith. But you have to remember, they were just ordinary men and women like you and me. They were ordinary, and they did what they did because of their faith. Extraordinary things were accomplished by ordinary people. So don't ever think that, well, that was a great men and women of God. I could never measure up or be like them. But I believe that God uses ordinary people like you and me to do extraordinary things by faith. Amen. As faith grows in our life. Faith is action based on our trust and our confidence in the promises and the faithfulness of God. I was wanting to get that definition up. Now, there's a lot of faith definitions, but tonight I'm using this one. Faith is action based on trust and confidence in the promises and the faithfulness of God. Amen. Now, you can be a believer. You can believe. You can hear the promises of God and believe them. But faith is when you act upon them. Faith is when you take action and when you begin to not just believe them in your mind, but you begin to put them into action in your lifestyle. Amen. That's faith, when you begin to do something about what you have heard. A lot of people have sat in the pews of churches for many years, and we've heard the Word of God. We know a lot about the Bible. We believe in God. We believe the Word of God, but we have trouble with faith. Because faith is putting what you know into action. Amen. And when you read Hebrews 11 and all those 17 individuals that did such mighty things by faith, as I said, they were ordinary people, but by faith they took action. By faith they did something and they stepped forward in action. You know, it's important for us to realize that Jesus takes notice of our faith or our lack of faith. He takes notice of our faith or our lack of faith. A few examples from the Word of God. The disciples, remember, in Matthew chapter 6, when Jesus was teaching them trying to motivate them, He spoke to them in Matthew 6 and 30. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? God, the Lord measures faith. O ye of little faith. That's what he said to the disciples. And that wasn't the only place that he described their faith as small. Little, just a little bit of faith. Remember in Matthew chapter 8, when the storm is blowing and they're about to sink, and Jesus said, "Why are you fearful, O ye of little faith?" Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. So even the disciples, who God used mightily later on in their ministry in the book of Acts, they did amazing things. But their faith was small. Jesus takes notice of how much faith that we have in our lives. Matthew 17 and 20. Jesus said unto them, "Because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith as the grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you." And Jesus spoke those words when the disciples could not help the man whose boy was being attacked by demons, throwing him into the water, throwing him into the fire. And the disciples couldn't do anything about it. And Jesus said, "Why do you have such small faith?" So Jesus took notice of their small faith. But he also took notice of those that have great faith. Amen. Remember the centurion that came to Jesus wanting him to heal his servant? And he said, no. Jesus said, I'll come and heal him. And he said, no, you don't have to come to my house. All you have to do is just speak the word. And I know that he will be healed. And Jesus heard that. That's Matthew 8 and 10. When he heard it, he marveled and said to them, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. This was a Roman centurion. But Jesus took notice of his great faith. Same thing is true in Matthew 15 and verse 28. The woman that came to Jesus, the Canaanite woman who came to Jesus asking for help. And the disciples said, go away to the Canaanite woman. Even Jesus said, not now, and delayed it. But she said, is it not meet that to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs? And she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table. And then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. So the Roman centurion and the foreigner, the Canaanite woman, had great faith because they put their confidence in the Lord. So you can see that all throughout the scripture that Jesus took notice of faith and even the size of faith that people had. You know, I think we all have the struggle of faith, don't we? We all deal with this because we are flesh and blood, but we're also Christians, and so we're spiritual beings. And so we hear, we believe, but we have difficulty sometimes in it translating into action, doing something about it. It's like the man that came to the Lord, and the Bible says that he said, or Jesus said, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. Now that's the expression that I think a lot of us have trouble with. Lord, I believe, but Lord, I need you to help my unbelief. I deal with the flesh and I'm in unbelief sometimes, but my spirit then can be strengthened and encouraged, and I can believe God for great things. So the difference between belief and faith is putting it into action. Amen. Stepping out and believing God to do some great and mighty things. So if it's true that you can have small faith or great faith, then I believe it's possible for you to increase your faith. Your faith can grow. Your faith can be increased. And so how do you increase your faith? Certainly, we all have the struggle between the flesh and the spirit, believing and faith. But I do believe that there are some things we can do to increase our faith. And the first thing you can do is just, you know, spend more time feeding on the Word of God. Feed on the Word of God. Reading it, meditating on it, obeying it, spending time in the Scripture increases your faith. To spend time with the Word of God and then exercising it, acting on what you have read, that the Word of God would sink down out of your mind and into your heart and then translate into actions. Amen. Exercising your faith. You know, just like you need food for your physical body, natural food, you need that's fuel for your physical body. So is it true that the Word of God is like fuel for the spiritual man? Amen. You need that. And so if all you do is eat and you never have any action or activity, you know what's going to happen? You're going to get lazy. You're going to get fluffy, flabby. If all you do is eat and you never have any activity, that's what's going to happen to you. The same thing is true in the spiritual realm of our lives. And if we only eat the Word of God. We only hear it and we believe it, but we don't put it into action, then we're going to be spiritually weak. And our faith muscles are going to get flabby. And we're not going to be able to accomplish what God has called us to accomplish by faith. Remember, Hebrews 11 describes ordinary people who did extraordinary things because they heard God's word, they believed the promise, and they acted on it. Amen. That's the only distinguishing thing in the life of a Christian to turn you from a person that just believes and a person that takes action, that actually believes God and steps out in faith to see God work in our lives. Amen. Faith can grow. It can grow. It can be developed in your life. You can get stronger in your faith as you feed on the truth of God's word. And then as you begin to put it into action, you believe it and you put it into action in your life. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, it says, "We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly." Our faith needs to be growing. Amen. Believing God in every area of our life. And you know, God allows us to get into situations where our faith is put to the test. He wants to see, are you going to believe me? Are you going to put it into action? Are you going to obey my word? Or are you just going to sit on the truth and never, ever take action? It's the will of God that our faith grows. Amen. A guy by the name of Bosworth, F.F. Bosworth, said most Christians feed their body 3 hot meals a day and their spirit 1 cold snack a week. And they wonder why their faith is weak. Amen. Amen. We're careful to make sure we've got all of our meals in the physical lined up. You know, I don't think any of us are going without a meal. But what about the spiritual man? What about feeding the spiritual man and building him up and getting him strong and then taking action and doing what the Lord is calling us to do? Romans chapter 4, I'm giving you a lot of scripture here tonight. Romans chapter 4, verse 19, "Being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old," talking about Abraham, "neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God." He heard it, he believed it, and he took action. The promise of God. "He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform it." And that's why that Abraham became our father of faith. Amen. He didn't know, from the very beginning of his connection and his call of God, all the way down there in that land of Ur, when God called him out from his own family, he went out not knowing where he was going. What did he act on? He just acted on what God told him to do. Leave your home and go where I direct you to go. He did not know where he was going. He just was obeying the voice of God. And he took action and obeyed what the Lord was telling him to do. And he became the father of a great nation. Amen. From that nation was the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ. He could probably have never imagined that step of obedience when he was just called to leave his homeland, how great and powerful that step of faith was going to be and what it was going to accomplish. And you don't know, whenever you hear the word of God and God speaks to you about taking action, doing something about it, you don't know the great potential of what God can do through your acts of faith. Amen. You know, another thing we can do, we need to spend more time feeding on the word of God. Then we need to spend time obeying it, taking action to what God tells us to do. Another thing you can do is surround yourself with people of faith. Amen. Who you hang out with makes a difference. Amen. If you're around people that are full of doubt and defeat and discouragement all the time, let me tell you, it's going to destroy your faith. Amen. It'll destroy your faith. Remember those 12 spies that went into the promised land? They spied out the land. What's interesting is that all 12 of them saw the same things. They saw the walled cities. They saw the giants. But they also saw a land that flowed with milk and honey. They saw the promised land. They saw those clusters of grapes that were so big that they had to put them on a pole and men had to carry them out. I mean, they saw all the blessing and all 12 of them saw the same thing. But 10 of them came back with an evil report. Two of them, they all saw the same things, but 10 of them came back. And their evil report affected the entire nation. It affected the destiny of the next 40 years, that evil report. If only they would have believed the report of Joshua and Caleb, who came back saying, we're more than able, we're well able. God can help us. We'll go in. We can take this land. We can possess this land. But the evil report. So surround yourself with people of faith. And remember that doubters will affect your spirit. It will affect your faith. If you listen to all that unbelief, don't listen to it. Amen. I have to be honest. There's been times over the years that, you know, I've known people that I knew when they were coming to me, it was going to be a bad report. And I could see it in their countenance. It's going to be a bad report. And I wanted to turn and run the other direction. I didn't want to hear all that bad news. I want to hear some good news. I want to hear about what God can do. Amen. So surround yourself with people of faith. Another thing you can do is read, not only in the Bible, but read the stories and books of people of faith, great people of faith. Amen. I was down at the shelter yesterday morning, and some of the volunteers down there were just telling me, you would not believe how great of a response we're getting. And they were telling me about all the supplies that have been coming in, that all the coolers, all the freezers, every storage area that were overflowing with so much. Amen. And I said, remember, I thought they would know. I said, remember what George Mueller said? That God's work done in God's way will never lack God's supply. And they looked at me and said, who's George Mueller? And I said, well, let me just tell you who he was. And I went through the story and told him about his orphanages in England and how that he never asked anyone for supplies or money or anything. He just prayed. Whenever there was a need, he prayed, and God would send it in through all kinds of miraculous ways. And the Lord supplied for those something like 300 orphans by faith, because he just trusted that God's work done God's way will never lack God's supply. Amen. And so another way to increase your faith is read the stories. Yes, in the Bible and other stories of great testimonies of faith in God and what God can do and what he has done and what he'll continue to do as we put our trust in the Lord. Amen. And then remember that your trials are a test of faith. Amen. Your trials are a test of your faith. It doesn't mean that he's forsaken you or that he's forgotten you in your trying situation that you're in. But God is at work in that. Let me read it to you from James chapter 1. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations or all different kinds of problems. Knowing this, that the trying your faith worketh patience. And let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. The word entire there means mature. That God will perfect you. That God will mature you through the process of your trial. Amen. That's the promise of God. So if you find yourself in some kind of a trying situation, when you put your confidence in the Lord, you're going to come on the other side of that trial. You're going to come through that trial, and your trial is going to become a testimony. Amen. That's what we heard tonight from Marvin. That's what we heard tonight from Bailey. From these different ones that testified tonight. That's what we've heard. Sure, a testing time, a troubling, worrisome situation. But God works through those situations to bring you to the other side with your faith stronger. You got a testimony. God worked in this. God moved in this. God showed himself strong. So our faith, every day of our life, God is calling us to live it out. Live by faith. Amen. And to that our faith would get stronger and stronger every day. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Lord, that you work in our lives. We know that we were saved by faith. You gave us the measure of faith to get saved. But that measure of faith can be increased. It can grow. And the longer that we serve you, Lord, our faith can get bigger and stronger. And you can do greater and more wonderful things in our behalf. Thank you, Lord, for the promise of God. Thank you, Lord, that faith can be increased in our life in so many ways. And I just ask, Lord, that you would work among this group here tonight, Lord, and stir our hearts, Lord, with a desire, Lord, to be stronger in faith. In Jesus' name. Praise God. Amen.